It was long, long ago. God, we were young back then. But I can still remember. We wanted to know things. We wanted to know the meaning of life. And we were willing to do whatever it took. To be honest, I was disappointed in our rulers and our priests too. And even after all this time, it's hard for me to say this, but I was also disappointed in our gods. I'd read our sacred texts, and then I began to read those of other people. And finally, I came across the scripture of the Jews. Oh, the Jews, what an interesting people. They've been around a long time and been through a lot. But I found their holy book to be fascinating. And then I came across this prophet, Isaiah. And he talked about God. Not a bunch of gods, but one God. And this God was the God of all people. And yet, he cared about each person. I wanted to know more, so I read more of the texts. And then I came across this prophecy about a new king, a shepherd, who's going to be born. And I thought, when is this going to happen? And I started studying the stars, and I came up with my answer, and I knew I needed to go. And my family thought I was crazy, and my friends were pretty doubtful too. But I got all of my affairs in order, tied up the loose ends and book passage in a caravan. Now, I don't know about any of you if you've ever traveled in a caravan. Camels are pretty rude animals, and the people who drive them aren't much better. And you don't get to choose your companions. You know, some of the people I met were lovely, they were wonderful. But others, my God, some of them were rude and others were standoffish. But the worst were the ones who would never stop talking. They would just go on and on and on, and they talk about themselves. Oh, I'm on a voyage of discovery. Oh, I'm striking out, I'm doing something new. And then there was the guy who said, I've got an in with the procurator. I'm going to strike it rich. All of my troubles will be over. I was young then, but I'd been around long enough not to tell this guy, not to waste his breath, because it was never going to happen. He was determined. But even worse than listening to all of these people was when they asked me about myself and who I was. And I would tell them, I'm a magus. Oh, you're a magus. You can tell the future. Tell me, is it going to rain next Tuesday? They always think they're funny when they say that. They're not. But sometimes people go a little bit deeper. You can tell the future. Am I going to get sick? That business deal, is it going to work out? My sister's getting married. I'm sure it isn't going to work. Tell me I'm right. I know I'm right. You can confirm that. I tried to explain that it's more complex reading the stars, trying to understand what's going to happen. It's an art as much as a science. Well, we journeyed along to the west. And there were times when I wondered about my decision to do this and thought maybe I should go back home. But then some other magi joined us. And we started talking. And we realized we were all looking for the same thing. We'd all seen the same star. And we knew we must be on to something. So we got to Jerusalem. Not the biggest city in the world, but boy, was it interesting. Back in those days, there were all sorts of people from all over the Roman Empire. And the temple, whoa, boy, was that impressive. Herod had his failings as a king, but boy, did he know how to build it. He rebuilt that temple, and yet I heard that his rebuilt temple still wasn't as magnificent as the first one had been there. I thought, boy, these people know how to worship God. We started asking around. We've heard about the king. Where is he? People didn't know. They passed us off from one another. Some looked at us like we'd lost our minds. A couple of locals tried to shake us down. But then we got an invitation to the palace to meet Herod. Herod, the king of the Jews, or maybe I should say so-called king of the Jews. I found out that he had to talk to his chief priests and scribes to figure out what was going on with this prophecy. He didn't even read his own holy scriptures. Bit of a chump if you ask me. But he knew what we needed to know, where to go. So we went to Bethlehem, and there was that star again. Talk about nowhere. Talk about a backwater town. And we found ourselves going to the backwater, in the backwater. We found the king of the Jews, the one who was foretold in prophecy, in a barn. A barn. We went in, and we saw the father and the mother and a baby. Just a baby. And my first reaction was one of disappointment. We traveled all this way for a baby. It's an ordinary baby. He couldn't speak, couldn't do any magic, any special tricks. There was nothing that said this baby was special. So we got up to leave. But something told me to look again. And so I did. And this time there was something about the presence of that baby. After all these years, all those decades, I still remember that presence, what it was like to be in that baby's presence, what it felt like. It was amazing. It was magnificent. It was wonderful. We knew the hour was getting late and it was time for us to go. So we shared our gifts. We shot the wad. We brought some gold. It seemed to make sense since he was a king. Those Jewish scriptures told us that he'd be a priest, so we brought some frankincense. And at the time, we didn't know why we were bringing the myrrh. It was expensive, so we thought that would be good. Of course, it turned out that the myrrh was very appropriate. But we didn't know that at the time. We didn't know that. Well, we left. We all went home. And people kept dying. And there were still poor folks. And wars. Herod died and he was succeeded not by that baby we visited, but by his incompetent sons. Nothing changed. So I went back to being a magus. I kept doing my thing. The years passed, decades really, about 30 years, I think, when I'd heard what had happened to that baby. He'd grown up, he'd become a teacher, apparently a healer. And he was charged with sedition, and he was executed. That was it, end of story. I was older now and wiser, and I could not believe that I'd gone to all that trouble as a young man, thinking that I was going to find answers. But then a few years later, something funny happened. People started telling stories. And they were sharing them with one another. And then a few years after that, a former Pharisee named Saul, who changed his name to Paul, not very original if you ask me, started writing letters to some communities that had been getting together to talk about Jesus. And he started explaining how everything we thought we knew was wrong, how we should look again at what it meant to be a king and the Messiah. And that got me thinking. And people kept telling stories, bigger, more elaborate stories. I was amazed when I found that my friends and I were part of the story. At first, they talked about the Magi. But you know, we don't always have the best reputation. There are people out there who think we're frauds and hucksters. You couldn't have them in this story. So we became wise men. I like that. I like being a wise man. Ironic, though, because I was looking for wisdom. And I was looking for something more. And then we were bumped up to kings. Oh, I liked that. We were kings. Oh, I'd like to be a king, live in a palace. I'm not a king. You know what else? My name isn't Casper, and it's not Melchior, nor is it Balthasar. I don't know where these names came from, but people had to give us names. And you know what? People assumed there were three of us because there were three gifts. But don't assume, because when you do, you know what happens. The fact is, there were four gifts. Remember I told you I went back in? I took a second look. I was in the presence of that baby. There was only one thing I could do then. I dropped down on my knees in homage. That was the gift I could give him. And as the years passed, I forgot about that gift. But I'd given it. And I realized that he had accepted it. Not as his due, not because I owed it to him, but because he was grateful. Augustus Caesar ruled the Roman Empire. He's dead. His heirs, they may call themselves emperors, but boy, they can't hold a candle to Augustus. Herod's they're sad. And like their dad, they're going to die. Just like all the heirs of Augustus. And I know I'm going to die too. And it doesn't matter. Because looking back, I know that the one thing that does matter was that baby. And that baby grew up and he changed everything. And he may have been crucified, but he lives. And he will live forever. He changed everything. You may not see it, but look again. Look again.